Well, many of you have asked how our trip went, and we're going to get there in just a few moments, but I do want to give a brief devotional to set the stage with this theme of God takes care of you. Turn your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings 17, an Old Testament passage dealing with a man named Elijah. What I'd like to do is read it first, the first seven verses. Obviously, we can't get into all the details of this account, and that was not my intent for today. But I want to just set the stage of how God provided for a man in the Old Testament, a very significant individual, one that we often looked up to. We think of him with Mount Carmel and calling down fire from heaven. But we read in James that he was a man of like passions like we are. Sometimes we forget that as we look at some of these Old Testament saints. We tend to think of them as super saints. We lift them and put them on a podium, and we say we could never relate to them. But we understand from Scripture that Elijah was a man who dealt with depression, a man who dealt with some challenges in his own heart and life as he's trying to minister on behalf of God. But yet, God provided for him, and we'll see that and look at that. So 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. Now Elijah the Tishbite of Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years, except by my word." And the word of the Lord came to him, "Depart from here and turn eastward, and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, which is the east of the Jordan. You shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. He went and lived by the brook Cherith that is east of the Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And after a while, the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. Let's pray. Father, encourage us through these words. May we all be reminded that you are there for us. You provide for our needs. May we be quick to run to you, quick to express the fact that we need your help, and then see you provide in wonderful ways. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. There's a key phrase in this particular passage, verse 5. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. All of us, as we face challenges, are challenged to not handle our problems on our own, but to run to the Lord and seek his wisdom and help. Whether we're dealing with kids going off to school, as some of you are in that situation today, children starting careers, challenges on our jobs, illness or health issues, all of us have things that we're dealing with right now, and we need to sense from God's word that he wants to provide for our needs. He wants to take care of us. Will we go to him with our needs? God wants us to obey him. God wants us to trust him. It will not always be easy. There will be times when we wonder if he is there as we're facing the challenges. But as we obey and as we trust, God will meet our needs. As we begin this particular chapter, again, we're not going to go into a long history lesson of Elijah and all that's going on. But Elijah was raised up by God to be a spokesman for him at a time when evil was at its pinnacle. There was a man in power at the time, a king in Israel, a northern kingdom. The kingdom had split from having Saul, David, and Solomon as the united kingdom, and now the northern kingdom, Israel, the capital in Samaria. was headed up by a king named Ahab. He was an evil king. In fact, he was one that if you were to kind of list out all the kings and say, okay, which one was worst, he would be one of the worst. He raised up Baal worship, and he married a princess named Jezebel. Now, I often don't think of princess and Jezebel together, but Jezebel was a wretched woman as well. And so when you have two evil people coming together and being in charge, it caused all kinds of havoc for the nation. And Ahab was and Jezebel were responsible for bringing Baal worship about. Baal worship was not a good thing. It involved child sacrifices. It involved great immorality and prostitution. And yet it thrived under their leadership. And so here, as we read about God leading a man named Elijah to go and be a spokesman and say, "Thus saith the Lord, this is what's going to take place," it was a direct challenge to the evil of the day. It was a direct challenge to the Baal worship of the time. In fact, in verse 1, notice that Elijah comes in and says, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, whom I represent, there shall be neither dew or rain these years." And we learn later on from James that it was a period of 3.5 years they would not receive rain. If you have grown up in the country, if you've grown up around any kind of agriculture or farming industry, you realize that is devastating. To have a drought, to have no rain for 3.5 years, that can totally destroy an economy. But it's more than that. It's a direct attack against Baal worship. Baal was the god of rain, the god of providing crops, the god of thunder. And so they looked to Baal to provide them with what they needed to grow their crops. And so as God said, the true and living God challenged them and said, "This is what's going to happen. God's in charge. He's going to withhold rain." Baal has nothing to say about that. No wonder then the Lord commanded Elijah to go and hide. And we see that in verse 3. "Depart from here," God told Elijah, "and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan." King Ahab was not going to be happy with this message. And in fact, he was not. And he would probably be looking to kill Elijah because of this message he gave. But the Lord gave him a command, told him to go. And we see in verse 4 that he promised to take care of him. He promised to meet his needs. In the midst of this message that would not be received well, and one that he would have to go and fear for his life and hide out in a rugged place out in the middle of nowhere, God was going to meet his need there. And I can't help but think that some of us, some of you, may feel like you're out there in that wilderness, that place where you just don't know what is happening in your life. It's nice to know that God is there with you, even in the midst of that dryness, that ruggedness, that challenging time. And notice what it says in verse 4. God is again reminding Elijah, "You will drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." A raven was not a pretty little bird. Not like a little dove or a canary or something like that. It was really an ugly, think of a crow, a bigger crow. Whenever I see crows, I want to shoo them away. And a raven was sometimes as long as 2 feet long, and just a bird that was ugly, a bird that was kind of a bottom feeder. You know, if you can think of fish being bottom feeders, this was a ground feeder, would eat most anything, a scavenger. That was the means that God was going to provide to meet his needs. Unusual, to say the least. But he was providing sandwiches through this, you know, meat and bread through this bird, and he was going to have his needs met through the brook there at Cherith. God provided for him. For a long period of time, he met his needs. And the ravens, verse 6, brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank by the brook. Everything was hunky-dory. It was all fine. God was meeting his needs. Great. I'm okay with that. But verse 7 comes along. And after a while, the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. The very message that Elijah had given now is taking place. No rain, and it affected him, and now he has no water to drink. Remember this. We can be right where God wants us to be and still face challenging times. God has never promised us an easy go of it. There will be testing. There will be challenging. But there are lessons to learn in those dry places, in those challenging trials that we face. And God went on, and we won't deal with it now. That's for another time. But God, through a widow woman, a poor widow woman, met the needs that Elijah had. Again, from unlikely sources, a raven, from a widow woman who was really with her last bit of meal and last bit of resources, yet God met the needs in spite of the difficulties, in spite of the challenges. And so I want to just set this as a stage again for giving my report on how God has met our needs. I must admit, there are times when we come to the end of ourselves, we're tired beyond imagination, and we have to say, Lord, I can't go on another day. We kind of felt that way throughout all of our trip. This was not a restful vacation. And I always find it interesting as people send us little notes, and I know everyone means well, say, I hope you had a restful vacation. It was not. It was horrible when it came to rest and sleep. But you know what? God met our needs and provided, and I'll share with that as we show the slides, how God provided through little bits of encouragement here and there to say, you know what? I'm there for you. Keep trusting me. And it's amazing when you're at the end of yourself, how wonderful God's provisions are. And it makes it even more special as he brings glimpses of hope and provides in unusual ways for us to know that he's there and he cares for us. So that's kind of the message of my talk now and the message of my slides that I'd like to bring. I thought it'd be nice, while it's fresh in my mind, to give a little bit of report and show you through pictures, which do a better job than me describing it. And so we'll just talk our way through this, okay? So if we can have the lights, okay, and I'll try to see what I'm doing here as well. The Lord blessed us with a camper. Blessed us with a camper until you start driving on Route 90 and around city and around Chicago and in Cleveland and everything. I'm telling you, I praise God for his protection. And driving a 40-foot long van and vehicle around through the traffic is amazing. Every once in a while, we had to take Jason out of his chair, pull along at a rest stop. Sometimes those rest stops were hard to find a spot, but we found every little shady spot we could do, and God provided in a wonderful way for us to take Jason's stuff with us. When you pull Jason around, it's like pulling a hospital room with you, and so He enjoyed it, though, and did a fantastic job. Rode well, and as long as he had his music and his videos to go along with it, we really had a good time. Here's inside the trailer. We have found a mattress that we could lay him on that folded out, and he got used to that, and it worked for us, and it was really good. Here's his moment that he finally did sleep. And we got a moment, but here we are awake, taking care of it. But how wonderful it was to be able to go back and to see our family members together. And Josh drove all the way out with his family from Colorado. Long, long drive to be with us. And it was nice to have our boys together and to add a special girl into our family. How wonderful it was to be reunited with aunts and uncles and cousins that I hadn't seen, some of the cousins, in 30 years. And so it was wonderful to deal there with, to see them again and to see my sister and her family from Connecticut and others as well. There's my sis. You may remember her from before. They say she's just the female clone of me. She's the pretty clone, I guess you might say, of me. But again, some cousins I hadn't seen in a long, long time, and an uncle. But what a fun time. That's what I love about weddings and stuff, bringing people together. And this is my little niece with my grandchildren, two of the grandchildren. Judy got after our son for this picture later on, after she took the picture, she said, "Now get him off that wall." But this is a part of the Letchworth State Park that was right by the wedding location. A train happened to be going over the top trestle at the time. They call it the Grand Canyon of the East. You could say it was gorgeous. Okay. All right. All right. You'll get it. But it was nice to have Josh and the kids around. And you'll get to see a few pictures, again, of God's provision. As you know, not only are Naomi and Jonah, I guess, 5 and 3 now, but the Lord has blessed Josh and Chelsea with a little boy that they're in the process of adopting. They just went, they had a court date, and the judge determined that mom was disqualified from caring. In fact, she even was there and said, "I am not qualified to be his mother." And so she relinquished all rights of little Aiden. And what a blessing he is. And so we look forward to this process, and hopefully by the end of by the middle of next year, he will be a part of the family officially. But I love this. He loves to fist bump and give fives. Trying to find a moment when you can prepare for the wedding, it's just amazing. And so here I am outside while everything's going on around me and trying to find Wi-Fi in places. We didn't have it there, of course, but it made it interesting. The wedding rehearsal, it was a big wedding. We had 6 on each side, which you'll see in a moment, and then all their families. And later on, we'll see, we had to provide a reception dinner for that, rehearsal dinner for 60 people. That's a lot of people for a rehearsal dinner. But it was fun, the practice involved in a 200-year-old church, the same church that Claire's parents were married at a number of years ago. But the rehearsal dinner, trying to order all of that for all the people from here, and it all worked together, though, didn't it, Judy? Lots of Subway sandwiches and other stuff. But here's the church. In the auditorium, I think it seats around 300 people, something like that. And quite a setting there. Let me back up just a moment. You'll notice that the bridesmaids are all dressed in material that was purchased in the Congo, Africa. And so there was an African theme there. And then we had the squares that we had in our jackets and in our shirt pockets that were all matching with the skirts of the ladies there. But when I looked over and saw my son looking at this gorgeous girl coming down the aisle, I'll tell you, I started leaking. Boy, I don't know, it just was leaking like crazy, and everybody noticed. I look over and everybody else is crying in the wedding party too, and I said, "We're going to have a hard time making it through this ceremony." And what was wonderful, they stopped at the front, and then at that point, we had designed for Joe to say a prayer, but before he did, he handed his daughter off to Michael, and I said, "Oh, wait a minute, we need to pray." And he separated them apart, stepped back a couple steps, and he prayed one of the most God-honoring, Christ-exalting prayers. It was wonderful. Joe is a missionary doctor in the Congo, Africa, and it was just wonderful to be able to see the whole service to be surrounding the person of Christ and exalting him. My dad got to be there, and a part of God's provision for him to be there, my sister drove all the way up from Winchester, Virginia, to watch Dorothy, who has Alzheimer's really bad, like a little kid. This was the first time he got away, and I don't remember the last time. And so he was able to be a part of it and read Scripture, 1 Corinthians 13. That was really, really special. Kind of nice to have additions to the family like Claire. She's as beautiful inside as she is outside. She's just a wonderful, wonderful girl. Jonah and Naomi were ring bearer and flower girl. In fact, they came down the aisle together, and then the other flower girls came down together, and so he delivered the rings to me. So here was the clan that was able to come. We would have liked some others to join us, but we had a good group from our family. This is Claire's family, her two sisters and brother, who were all in the wedding party, and mom and dad. And here's the clan that were there. And it seemed like everybody we talked to was some part of the clan of the Harvey family. I think our boy is happy. Notice Zach in there. Where are you, Zach? There he is. Who's that fine-looking gentleman right up there, huh? Boy, he dresses up really good. Then they had a reception out in the backyard of a friend of the family. And that morning, it had been raining, and so we were a little nervous about the reception. But it all worked out, and it was just a beautiful, beautiful day. And a beautiful setup in the backyard with the tents and everything you'll see here in the next few pictures. A little more relaxed. My son was very nervous going into this, and so he looks a little more relaxed and relieved. I think there were about 300 people at the reception. Okay, it was my dad's first time to meet our grandchildren. You know, so that's a special picture. You know, they just couldn't keep their hands off Jason. It's beautiful to see the way the kids have responded. They know he's got special needs, and they just love all over him all the time, and it's wonderful. And so does little Aiden. He just crawls all over him. They had a pie. They actually had a little ceremonial cake that they had, but then they served pie to the rest of us. They had them served on shelves, many of them homemade pies. But this was the cake, and you had to, of course, get the good stuff in. And he did not retaliate. I don't know. I don't know why he didn't, but not. And this was my wife's first dance ever in her life. So how is that? And Michael just led her through and did a good job. And here in the next picture, he's singing out the song. But he was secretly giving Judy the message. Okay, step forward, hold a little closer, go back. Okay. And then we were trying to just melt down after it all took place. Judy's dad was with us, and then came to my dad's, but we don't do selfies very often, but that one we did. And on the road again, then we went off to my dad's place. And my dad's front yard was just as special as anything, as far as it's in the woods, which you would expect. And John Deere Lane, that's what he's got on his property. But it was just nice to be able to spend time with Dad and just realize the challenges my dad has, but to have adult conversation with him and encourage my dad. One day we looked over and Dorothy was on her face in the grass. And so we went running over, picked her up, and we said, "What happened? Did you fall down the steps?" It was just below the steps. She says, "I don't remember. I don't know." And so it's just a lot of things. She'll turn the water on and leave it running, and it's just really at a crucial point. And so again, I think God's provision, it was this, that we providing us to be there for my dad and to encourage him at a very difficult time. This is my dad's ingenuity. Grew up in a chicken farm, and they often had to make parts for things. The front porch, which you see up on top the ramp there, is a wagon. He actually borrowed a wagon from somebody else and wheeled it in there. And it's providing the place for Jason can get his wheelchair on, and he's providing the ramp. And we don't have the video of it now, but he did a winch that actually pulled him up with a remote control, pulled him up the ramp with after tying tie downs to the front of the wheelchair. Just fascinating. It was just wonderful. And the way he practiced was by sitting in an old wheelchair and pulling himself up. He said, "If you hear that I'm in the hospital with a broken arm, you'll know what it is." But Dad has tractors for all occasions, and so we had fun riding on the wagons and just enjoying. Got him up on the ramp and going along. And there's Dorothy, my stepmom. But I think it provided just as much joy for my dad to drive around the area, pulling us around. And Jason enjoyed it. And then here's at my dad's, there's just, you had to walk up near the road or back in the gravel bed to try to find any cell phone connection. So if you tried to reach me, you know what we were dealing with. It's just very difficult to try. And then this was just amazing. We're on our way home. We left on Monday. And we didn't know when Michael and Claire were going to leave from Perry after their honeymoon. We didn't get a chance to see them at all after the honeymoon and stuff. And so we're traveling along. And you know, if you're traveling on 90, you've got all kinds of exits and rest stops and everywhere. And we just finally picked out one after much debate what we should do and stop off. And we were on the grass with Jason just to give him a relief. Judy says, I think I see a car like Michael's. And I said, no way. I just didn't even look that way behind me. I'm just dealing with Jason. Sure enough, it was actually Michael and Claire at the same rest stop. We had not planned it, had not been talking on the phone. And Judy went over to their car and shocked them out of their mind. I said, we're watching you. We were watching you on your honeymoon. No. Just kidding. But it just was amazing. So we got to spend 20 minutes together eating crackers and both getting a break. And then they went on their way. And so we had just pulled off. And we're ready to pull onto the on-ramp for the thruway when we get a call from Claire. And she said, are you there at the rest stop still? And we said, we're just about ready to get on the on-ramp. And I stopped, I pulled over, and she said, Michael left his ring in the bathroom at the rest stop. So I parked the car there, and I went running down over grass and down the railroad back to the place, and people are everywhere, you know, in and out. You know what it's like. So I went in one side of the men's room there, and there was nothing, and my heart sank. But I remember, there's another side to the men's room. Went on the other side, and there was his ring sitting there. Got it, and they went down an exit, went up an exit, came back, and we met again and said, we shouldn't do this anymore. And they went on their way, but just God's provision, you know, and protection through it all. And now they're in their first apartment, and these are just... they got it a week before the wedding, at least, you know, to hold it. Then they had to do background checks and everything like that. They went down to move in a couple days ago, and they would not give them the keys. They said, you have to have your name and the electric turned on in your name for 24 or 48 hours. So they had to find a friend's house to stay at for a couple days. But they have a blow-up bed now in this first apartment. Notice the windows all boarded up. They're in an area where they boarded up all the windows so that no one would break in while it was unoccupied. That gives you great comfort as a family, you know, mom and dad. And then also notice in the kitchen, you notice anything unusual? The room that is available in the kitchen for a kitchen table, you've got the refrigerator right there. So you can lean against the refrigerator while you cook and do your dishes. But they've told us, they've really given us reassurance, though. They're going to move that refrigerator in front of the hole for the air conditioner so that it'll prevent people that want to come in and stealing stuff. Okay, son. Oh, my goodness. But anyway, this is their place. And apparently there's 6 apartments in this one house. So this is their place, 2-bedroom. And by the way, they met their first neighbor already, and he was packing a gun. And they said, oh my, he's either going to be a mean guy or a friend. And they got out of the car, and he was one of the nicest guys they could have met. And so Michael went up and said, you know what? We now know who to go to for protection. So they've hit it off real well, but we're excited for them. And this is his new school, Belhaven Elementary School. And so he's met the principal there, and I don't know the makeup of the school, but it is one of the school systems, public schools of Dayton, Ohio. He's got his work cut out for him, start school this week. So we would appreciate your prayers for Claire and Michael as they set up their new home, as they make all kinds of adjustments. And we praise God again for God's provision, God's protection. And I need to remind myself this morning of the message as well, God will take care of you. Let's sing one last song as we close our service together with that actual song. If we could have the lights, God will take care of you. Let's all stand as we have hymn number 47.